Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Fincare Financial Services Limited Q1 FY27 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this call is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Forum Goshar from Adfactors PR. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Forum Goshar from Adfactors PR, Investor Relations. On behalf of Fincare Financial Services Limited, it is my pleasure to welcome you all to the Q1 FY27 earnings conference call. Today, joining us from the management team are Mr. Priyank Kothari, Executive Director, Mr. Naveen Kothara, Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Aakash Jain, Chief Financial Officer. We will begin today's call with opening remarks from the management, following which we will open the floor for Q&A session. Before we begin, I would like to remind everyone that certain statements made during this call may be forward-looking in nature. These statements are based on the management's current expectations and are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those expressed or implied. Fincare Financial Services Limited undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statements based on subsequent events or developments. With that, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Priyank Kothari to deliver his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us for Fincare Financial Services earnings call for the first quarter of FY27. On our previous earnings call, we had spoken about building Fincare as a technology-enabled, risk-first gold loan franchise, with a strong emphasis on disciplined growth, governance, and operational excellence. We had also shared our belief that long-term institutions are built by ensuring that systems, controls, and underwriting discipline remain ahead of growth. The developments witnessed across the industry during this quarter have only reinforced that conviction. The first quarter marked an important transition for the gold loan industry. The implementation of the revised regulatory frameworks has led organized players across the sector to align themselves with a common set of operating standards, creating a more transparent and a disciplined operating environment. As with any significant regulatory change, there is naturally a period during which customers, distribution channels, and operating processes adjust to the new framework. While this may temporarily influence business momentum across the industry, we believe these developments are positive for the long-term evolution of the sector and will ultimately reward institutions built on strong governance, prudent underwriting, and operational discipline. During the same period, gold prices, after witnessing a strong rally over the past year, experienced some correction and increased volatility. From our perspective, this has had no material impact on the quality of our portfolio or our risk management framework. Our conservative lending practices, disciplined loan-to-value approach, and robust collateral management processes continue to provide adequate protection across varying market conditions. Our response to such an environment remains consistent. We have never believed in pursuing short-term growth at the expense of long-term franchise quality. During periods of transition, our focus naturally shifts towards strengthening execution, improving branch productivity, enhancing operational efficiency, and reinforcing our underwriting standards. We believe these are the periods that ultimately define the quality of an institution. Throughout the quarter, we've continued to make steady progress across our strategic initiatives. Our co-lending partnership continues to scale in a calibrated manner, while our cross-sell initiatives have begun gaining traction. As discussed previously, we remain focused on building a stronger fee-income franchise around our existing customer base in a measured and a customer-centric manner. While these initiatives are still in their early stages, we believe they will gradually strengthen the overall economics of the business over the medium term. From a funding perspective, we continue to witness encouraging confidence from lenders and financial institutions, following a recent rating upgrade and the continuing strengthening of our operating platform. Our balance sheet remains well capitalized, providing us with adequate flexibility to pursue long-term growth plans in a prudent manner. From a regulatory standpoint, we have also continued strengthening the institutional foundations of the organization. Following our transition into a middle-layer NBFC, we have further enhanced our governance framework, internal processes and control environment in line with higher regulatory standards expected of a larger institution. Alongside this, we have continued to institutionalize the organization by building a seasoned leadership team across all critical functions. During the quarter, we further strengthened our compliance and risk functions through the appointment of experienced leaders to head these verticals, complementing the already leadership in place across finance and business. Today, FinCurve has an experienced management team leading each of its key functions with professionals bringing more than 15 years of experience in their respective domains. We believe having the right leadership depth is essential as we prepare the organization for the next phase of sustainable growth. Overall, our strategy remains unchanged. We will continue to scale the business in a manner where systems, technology, governance and risk management remain ahead of growth. We are not focused on optimizing for individual quarters. Rather, our objective is to build an institution that delivers consistent performance across business cycles. Competition within the industry will continue to evolve and market conditions will inevitably change over time. However, we believe enduring leadership in lending is not determined by who grows the fastest during favorable periods, but by who continues to execute with consistency when the operating environment becomes more challenging. We are pleased to have closed another quarter with continued progress across our key operating and financial metrics. More importantly, we believe the organization today is operationally stronger than it was 3 months ago. As we move ahead, our focus will remain on strengthening the franchise quarter after quarter, maintaining our discipline and creating sustainable long-term value for all stakeholders. With that, I would now request our CFO to take you through the financial performance for the quarter. Following that, we will be happy to take your questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Priyank, and good evening, everyone. A warm welcome to all our stakeholders, and thank you for joining us today. Let me take you through the key financial highlights of this quarter. This quarter, our AUM has grew by 135% on a year-on-year basis. Our branch network has increased from 83 town to 118 network of branches as of 30th June, which is a 42% increase. Our revenues have increased by almost 89%, and our PAT has increased by almost 65% on a year-on-year basis. Our NPAs have been pretty much stable, pretty much under control. It is at 0.54% gross NPA and 0.48% net NPA. Our ratios, key financial ratios in terms of ROLA has been 2.9. That's because of increasing leverage. Our average return on equity has improved from 8.1% of Q1 last year to 9.7% of Q1 this year. Our debt to equity has again, multiplied by 3x, almost from 0.7x to almost 2.9x as of 30th June. Our capital adequacy has remained healthy. We are at a 26.6% capital adequacy. With that, we also have a pretty comfortable liquidity position, almost 56 crores being cash in hand and almost 67 crores of being treasury investment made as of 30th June. Apart from these financial numbers, we were able to, have a few highlights that we were able to onboard, the first ever institution onboard of FinCurve, which is Franklin Templeton. They have issued, they have subscribed to an NCD of 50 crores, received in two tranches. So that's the first highlight, and, we have also expanded our, retail participation by having more than 24,000 bondholders as of 30th June. So that also gives a lot of, confidence on our, entire set of scheme things and operations, the overall company per se. In terms of strengthening governance, we have onboarded Mr. CVR Rajendran, sir, as our, additional director. And from a prudential risk management perspective, we have hired a chief risk officer, Mr. Raju Shah, who again has a very extensive experience in the financial services domain. And we also have a head of compliances, Mr. Hussein Pitalwala, who has joined us again from a very extensive background. So these are the key financial highlights and critical developments of Q1. With this, we open the floor for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is on the line of Vedant Trivedi from Vinayak Capital. Please proceed.
Hello.
Yes,
hello.
Vedant. Yes.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on your debt to equity ratio. So, debt to equity ratio has increased from 0.7 to 2.9. So, the company has accelerated its loan book growth also. So, could you please provide some colors on the target leverage range for FY27 and over the medium term?
So, see, our targeted range is about where the industry is right now, which is at 4x, right? And beyond that, we'll also have participation in terms of co-lending. So, our idea of having a co-lending proportion of at least 15% to 20% by end of this financial year. So, that's the overall target for FY27. And beyond, 4x, we don't, for now, we don't see that happening in FY27. We would like to be in that range of 4 to 4.5x.
Understood, sir. Understood. And also, sir, as your AUM scales, how much further headroom do you have to increase the leverage?
No, I didn't get your question. As our AUM scales, how much is the headroom?
Yeah. Do you how much is the further headroom do you have to increase the leverage, and what level would you consider optimal while maintaining a comfortable capital and liquidity position?
So that is around 1600 crores and we still have room for around 400 crores of off book. So we still have a runway of almost 800 crores before we run out of, before we reach the optimal state.
So, sir, just to continue with it, is the current capital base sufficient to support your growth plans for FY27?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, if you look at our capital base, our net worth is about 350 crores, wherein 1x is still remaining. So, we can straight away add that 350 crores to our AUM. We have a 100 crore cash position. Let that be as it is. Plus, there is a space for co-lending as well. So another, if we target another 15 to 20%, which is almost 300 to 400 crores, so on a 1270 crores, we are almost adding 700 crores, which will again take us to 1900 to 2000 crores kind of an AUM. The current capital. Plus, over and above that, there is a capital infusion from the promoters in the form of share warrants, which is about 30 crores is to come. The deadline is up to November. So we will see that also happening in this financial year. So that will again give us some cushion on the leverage for about 100 crores there as well.
That answered my another question. So thank you so much. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Preeti Sharma from Invest Advisors. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for giving me this opportunity. Firstly, congratulations on a good set of numbers on a YOY basis. I have two questions and are both related to the regulation perspective. So I wanted to understand that, with RBI keeping a very close watch on gold lending, how are you making sure that all your processes like, gold valuation, ownership verification, custody, etc. are fully compliant? So have you all internally made any changes to in your system or in processes to, you know, comply fully with the regulatory ask? And secondly, you know, in the next 1 or 2 years, you know, based on any regulatory changes that you could think would impact your growth. So is there anything of that sorts in your, you know, I just wanted to understand that.
Yeah. Post the new guidelines, which were very clearly drafted out and given by RBI, so the whole industry is trying to implement that. For us, it was a different status altogether, because we at the same time turned out to be middle layer as well. So for us, we had to invest substantially in the compliance department. So we have made our you know, investments by adding, you know, by strengthening the compliance team. We have got head of compliance as well as a whole team under the compliance head, as well as we are investing in softwares to ensure that we are fully compliant for both, you know, middle layer regulation as well as new RBI compliance regulations. However, I would like to tell you, this compliance is an ongoing thing, and you know, these days every 2-3 weeks there is one or the other circular which comes in, and but largely we keep track of, you know, draft circulars, and we kind of estimate that what all are the impact for a gold loan product. Okay, so we have planned that for a year long plan we have already in place, and we are executing that. However, it is an evolving framework, as it for everybody. We are also doing the same thing, and we are trying our best to comply fully to the RBI guidelines.
No, so that I understood, but I wanted to get more clarity on what are your internal processes, basis gold valuation and, you know, purity checks and ownership verification, all of those. If you could just throw some light on what are these exact processes that you all follow.
Yeah, so see, gold valuation, see, if you are asking me, is there any change in the valuation process because of the guidelines, then for the valuation process, the only change which in this guideline was that whenever there is a difference in valuation, then you need to inform the customer via an SMS or via a postal letter. That is the only change in the valuation process. And then there was one more guideline which says that you need to give us a valuation certificate, which anyways we were doing earlier as well. So on the valuation process, there is no much change because of the guidelines. In fact, we were following all the things previously also, and there are very few changes which RBI suggested. We are doing that. In terms of LTV, that is where the major changes has happened, wherein RBI wanted to segregate clearly between consumption loan and income generating loan. So that we have implemented. So income generating loans are underwritten separately, and consumption loans are underwritten separately. So so that distinction we have made. And on the consumption loan, RBI has given a tiered base LTV, which is they have given 3 tiers, 85, 80 and 75. So those are pretty standard as per the regulation. We are following that. On the income generating loans, it is as per the credit risk policy, which is defined by the board approved policy. So we are following that. So these are the primary changes you ask us in terms of valuation as well as LT. And we are following all these, we have implemented these in our processes.
Okay, got it. I just wanted one more clarity on your expansion strategy. So I believe that you all are, you know, quite dominant in the southern part of India. Do you have any plans of expanding in any other state or region, maybe central India or eastern, something of those sorts? If you could just give me some clarity on that.
Okay, so we are we have already invested in the leadership in all these 4 states. So we have still not exhausted fully the potential of these 4 states. So we will continue to do that, and then we will cater to adjacent states. So just to give an example, so we are already there till Vishakhapatnam border, with the next best location is Orissa. So we will be expanding to Orissa after these four states are fully completed, or after the supervisory strength is fully exhausted, then we will move to Orissa. So we will never, expand to, a very different kind of different region. So we will grow organically surrounding these four states only. So we'll go organically state by state.
Okay, understood. I think that's about it. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Bhavya Agarwal from Share India. Please proceed.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah.
Yeah, hi sir. Congratulations on good set of numbers. I have a few questions. My first question is, sir, that our net interest income grew YOY broadly in line with the strong growth in AUM. But as the loan book continues to scale, how should we think about the trajectory on lending yields, cost of funds, and net interest margins?
Yeah. So if you look at yields, so yields have been pretty stable at 20%. So these yields are, they'll not go down. We're trying to increase these yields. So you can assume that it will stabilize somewhere around 20 or 20.5%. What is the other thing you are asking?
Cost of funds.
Cost of funds. So cost of funds, see, right now, we are a BBB+ rated organization. So we are expecting a re-rating after a certain size, around 2,000 crores. So then we will definitely get a cost of funds benefit. But currently, what we are doing is we're increasing our co-lending share, which is at a better cost. So our current co-lending share is around 3%. So our target is to reach around 15%-20% by end of the financial year. So that will anyways reduce the cost of funds. So on the yield side, you can expect a 50 basis points growth. And on the cost of funds side, also, you can expect some reduction. So that is the advisory on these two.
Also, on the cost of funds, so far, we've just had one PSU. Our idea is to bring more PSUs on board with the larger ticket sizes. So once PSUs are on board, I think our cost of funds will then come down reasonably. But it is all a function of our rating and size.
Got it, sir. So given a 50 basis point increase in yields and expected cost of funds decline, so can we expect an increase in margins, net interest margins?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. That's a straight function of NIM, increasing yields and decreasing costs.
If I have to estimate.
Yeah. Three parameters. I'm sorry. In this, there are three parameters. So one is your yields, the other one is your cost of funds, and the third one is your operation OpEx to AUM.
Yes. Yes.
OpEx to AUM, as we are growing the number of branches, as well as the existing branches are growing the AUM per branch, this OpEx to AUM will also come down. So these are the three levers which will work parallelly to increase the NIM.
Correct.
So sir, if I have to estimate, what level of NIM expansion are we expecting?
As we have given the guidance earlier.
See, go.
As we have given the guidance earlier, so we were expecting to grow this year by 50%-60%, as well as both the branch expansion as well as AUM expansion.
Okay, sir. So my next question is, sir, on return on average loan assets. I mean, declined to 2.9% despite strong AUM growth. Could you help us return the same?
Yeah. So see, the growth that has happened on the AUM side is, again, from the borrowed funds. So it definitely has a cost associated, a finance cost associated to it. So increasing AUM and increasing PAT has not been proportional. That's because our cost of fund today, so if our lending yields are at 20%, our average cost of funds or cost of borrowing, so to say, is about 11%-11.5%. That's the range. With an OpEx cost of about average 6 to 7%, right? So that hardly leaves us anything 100 to 200 bits kind of a pre-tax return, right? So that is why increasing AUM and increase in PAT has not been proportional. But once our yield increases, our cost goes down, definitely the spread will pass on directly, because all these functions are now set. And we don't expect any significant increase on these and the expenses side.
Okay, sir. So given this growth, when can we expect the return on assets sort of stabilize and move back towards the targeted steady state?
So at a steady state, in the short term, it will not be stable. But on a steady state, we are targeting somewhere around 3%. ROA, but that will happen only after we reach a certain size and scale, which absorbs all the operating, which gives us a better operating leverage.
See, we usually don't give a ROA, ROE guidance. What we've done is we usually look forward at least in terms of ROA, ROE for the next 5 years. So if you ask us ROA, ROE guidance for the next 5 years, we ideally would want to be at a 3-3.5% ROA and a 18% ROE kind of a number. That's what we're targeting.
And my last question is that, given the competition intensity in this space in India, so, are we seeing any, pressure on the yield side? How are we tackling it?
Yeah. So, see, on the competition side, it is the same thing, So, competition has always been there. It was always, there were always players who have better cost of funds, better brand. There were banks, there were PSUs, there were big, large NBFCs, and, there were players like us, right? So, with a smaller NBFC. So, the competition has been same, just that the number of competitors have increased. So on the ground, nothing changed. The only difference is, if you have a lower cost of funds, you can cater to another set of customers, which at this stage we may not be able to cater to. We are catering to a certain set of customers who give us a certain yield. So these customers are also being served by competition. So that is the only difference. So for these customers, they're taking a loan from, let's say, a large NBFC, a bank, or us, the yield is same, right? So there is no difference that way. So increasing competition will eat away share of banks as well as larger NBFC rather than the smaller NBFC is what we achieve.
Got it. Okay. Thank you so much, sir, for your time and answering my questions. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Suraj Shinde from Yes Securities. Please proceed.
Thank you, sir. I just wanted to know on the competition part. So, as we can see, particularly private and PSU banks are becoming increasingly aggressive in gold loans, with several players expanding their branch network and capabilities. How are we positioning ourselves in this increasingly competitive environment, and are we seeing any meaningful change in the competitive intensity in key markets?
Yeah. See, you mentioned two players, right? Banks and PSU. See, banks have always been there. In the recent times, they have been aggressive. Okay. But that market is very different because they operate at a very low yield kind of market. So they give loans at a very low yield because the cost of funds is also very low. Those were never our customers. We never get clashed on that, right? So our customer is India too, whose main purpose is, who's hungry for a better service as well as a better, optimum value for his collateral. Okay, so these are the two things. As the competition is increasing, three things are getting very evident. The differentiation now is primarily on product and scheme, service quality, as well as post you know, post dispersal service which is there, right? Like many competitors, they don't release gold on time and things like that. So these are the nuances which matters a lot these days. In terms of pricing and branding, you know, pricing is same, right? Because even these customers are getting offered the same interest rate in our NBFC or in banks or in other bit larger NBFCs. The pricing, there is no much difference. Okay. And branding, anyways, everybody is, you know, the loyalty of these customers to a brand is largely unseen. Okay. Except for large, you know, a large players. So that's where it is. I hope you got the answer.
Mr. Suraj?
Hello, I'm audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, also on the like gold loans part, so how do you access the underlying demand independent of the depreciation? And also, okay, if gold price were to stabilize or correct from the correct levels, what impact do you expect on loan growth, ticket sizes, and customer behavior? And what growth we expect to remain driven by increasing penetration, or could be some moderation?
We are not able to hear you. Can you please repeat yourself?
Okay. Am I audible now?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm asking, how do you access the underlying demand for gold loans independent of gold price appreciation? And if gold price were to stabilize or correct from the current level, so what impact do you expect on loan growth, ticket sizes, and customer borrowing behavior? And also, what would you expect growth to remain driven by increasing penetration? There could be some moderation.
Okay. So if you look at historically, whenever the gold prices are you know, corrected or subdued, the gold loan industry did not grow to that extent. Okay, so it has a, you're right, it has a, at industry wide, it has a direct correlation. Okay, so if you look at your steady state book, which is already built, growing that will have a challenging time if the gold prices continue to decline. Okay, but since we are a very small NBFC and our focus is only on increasing the branches, for new branches growth will definitely be there because there is a low base effect, and as well as we continue to open branches, we continue to acquire new geographies. Okay, so for our size NBFC, the growth impact will not be there because we are continuing to acquire new collateral via new branches. Okay, so what was the other question? Growth was one concern you raised. What is the other concern you raised?
On the loan growth and ticket sizes and customer behavior.
Ticket size. Yeah, so during these times, the ticket sizes are subdued. So if you look at, I'm thinking you will be looking subdued ticket sizes from Q4 to Q1 and Q2, you will find the major difference that the ticket sizes are getting smaller. Okay, so that is a direct correlation with you know, collateral price, because the industry works on number of tickets per day, right? So if the gold price are high, the ticket size increases. If the gold price is low, the ticket size decreases. So ticket sizes, reduction of ticket size will also reduce the AUM as well, but that will have a major impact on already built book. But in the new branches, there is definitely scope for growth.
Okay, and what growth would we expect to remain driven by increasing penetration, or there could be some moderation for the same?
No, so what we have committed, that 50 to 60% of AUM growth at the start of the financial year, we are continuing to pursue that.
Okay. Also, one last question from my side. So, considering the technology and fast turnaround time are increasingly becoming industry standards or capabilities on the industry front, but beyond factors, what do you believe are companies' key competitive advantage in the gold loan market?
See, of course, one is One is, of course, how well you're able to serve your customers, like you rightly mentioned. But I think the other mode that the group has is that if you know about the group, Augmont is one of the largest gold ecosystems in India, and the promoters carry almost 50 years of experience in the underlying asset. So I would say that the family knows how the product moves across households. So I think that experience has given us a unique edge of truly understanding our customers and truly being able to understand them, to be able to serve them in the right possible way with the right possible product. So I think we really understand how to deliver this product and services rightly to our customers. I think that would be our moat, other than technological advantage that all the other NBFCs have. Hello.
Yeah. Thank you, sir, for that elaborative answers.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anirudh Sharma from Ekant Investment. Please proceed.
Hello. Am I audible? Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, hi. So I had a few questions from my side. So, sir, your AUM grown strongly by approximately 135% year-on-year. Could you help us understand the key drivers of this growth, particularly what was the contribution from new customer additions, higher average ticket sizes, the rising gold prices, and deeper penetration within the existing customer base?
Yeah. So if you look at the year on year growth, see last year the prices have grown significantly. So if you look at the breakup of this this growth, 50% has come from tonnage and 50% has come from price. Okay, so that's a simple breakup if you ask me. Number of customers, even if you look at quarter on quarter, we are increasing around 15% per month. Yeah. So number of customers are continuing to grow, but if you look at a simple breakup, then it is 50% price and 50% tonnage. Our average ticket size have increased since last year. So from 1.31, it has become 1.87. But this is an industry-wide phenomenon because, as I told you, it's a ticket size concept. So the collateral is same, and then and also the branch expansion is
okay. So sir, if we normalize for the gold price appreciation, what has been the underlying volume growth in the gold loan book, and how sustainable do you see this growth rate going forward?
So I told you, right? So we, the 50% last year, 50% was the tonnage growth. So even in our guidance, which we have given in Q1, if you look at, in Q1 there was no prices impact, the prices were correcting. We still grew our AUM by 15.9%, around 16%. So if you analyze it, this will come up to 50-60%. So this was our guidance. We are on the track for Q1. So we'll continue to pursue this for Q2, Q3, Q1. In fact, in our industry, Q3 and Q4 are a pretty strong quarters. So even though, if there is any disruption, we will cover up in Q3 and Q4.
Okay. So sir, for FY27, should we expect the gold loan portfolio growth to remain at the current elevated levels or moderate as the base gets larger?
No, so we consider our base to be small at this scale. So, to call ourselves a large base is a long way to go. So, what we are saying is that the guidance which we have given, we'll continue to pursue this, and we are confident that we will reach somewhere there.
Okay, understood, sir. So, one last question from my side. With the branch network expanding, could you help us understand the targeted economics at the branch level? What is the steady state AUM or the gold loan book that you aim to achieve per branch? And what is the typical break-even period for the newly opened branch? Also, how long does it generally take for a new branch to reach its targeted productivity levels?
Yeah. So, see, our average AUM per branch currently is 10.3 crores.
Yeah.
And we wish to reach a number of 12 to 13 crores average AUM per branch. Of course, this also changes as we are opening new branches. So new branches will take time to reach this number. Even with the continuing growing new branches, we would like to keep a number somewhere around 12 to 13 crores. That is what we are aspiring for. In terms of new branch, it takes around 12 to 18 months to break even. Our break even AUM is somewhere around 5 to 6 crores. And we are on a branch to branch basis, we are achieving that in 12 to 18 months.
Okay, understood, sir, understood. So that's it from my side. Thank you for your questions. Thank you for your answers, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Varun, an investor. Please proceed.
Hi, sir. My first question is, do you see any regulatory changes potentially affecting the economies or growth potential of the gold loan business over the next 12 to 24 months?
So I think RBI has given a very, very clear regulation equalizer for all banks, NBFCs, PSUs, all put together. So there are minor regulatory changes which are there, which are affecting other products as well. But these are like, we assume that these are regular course of business. So we are not expecting anything specialized for gold loans. I think whatever they had to give, they have given already.
Okay, so have we made any changes to our internal processes systems in response to this regulatory expectations?
Yes. We have done a lot of changes in line with the regulatory changes. As per the RBI norms, we have changed our process, day-to-day process.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sachin Svetia, an investor. Please proceed.
Hello. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. Firstly, congratulations to the management team on a very strong set of numbers and the growth that the company has delivered. My question is far more from shareholder perspective. Despite the growth in revenue IOM, the stock price is corrected by around more than 50 to 55% from its highs. Is there anything that you believe the market is currently misunderstanding or not fully appreciating about the company's fundamentals or future growth prospects, and how will the management address the disconnect between the company's operational performance and the share price performance?
So we really don't comment on what happens in the share prices, so we refrain from giving any guidance or any comments on that. But all we can say is that if you see the past performance of the organization, quarter on quarter, we've been performing consistently. So our only, commitment to the investors is that we've been consistently showing performance, and we will continue to do so.
Okay, thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you. That was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you to all the investors, taking time and joined today, and we look forward to having you guys for the next quarterly con call as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of FinCorp Financial Services Limited, we conclude this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.